Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles, your favorite true crime podcast. I am Donnie, and with me is a man that says if you miss the solar eclipse, don't worry because there'll be 8 trillion photos of them on social media. It's Dale.
Yeah. Don't look at it with your blind eyes.
No. You can squint and it's okay.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
You just got to, you know, what you got to do is you poke a hole in a oatmeal can or something, right?
Yeah, and you just, yeah. We used to look at it with our eyes as a kid.
Because you're stupid.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I got to.
Oh, yeah. Just one time. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Now okay. We're going, can't see nothing. Why? Yeah. You remember 8th grade when you was looking at the eclipse?
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
That's why we wear glasses now.
Yeah.
That's right. What's going on, dude?
You know it. Same old, same old.
Same old, same old. I love it.
Yeah, man. It's crazy weather, huh?
Oh, man. Up and down, in and out.
It's been a crazy few weeks, man. I was gone. No, you was gone. Had a big time.
Yeah.
Back down on the coast.
It was 80 degrees. Now it's going to be freezing.
But we in here getting it done, ain't we?
Doing an episode, man.
That's right. Get her done.
You got any good shout-outs anybody want to mention before we get going?
Look at that.
Oh, man.
We'd like to give a big shout-out to Leslie_BS. It says, love the accents and calmness. Who was she listening to?
I don't know.
Just kidding. Absolutely love your voices, and listening to you both is relaxing. Very good crime discussion and lighthearted conversation during. Keep up the great work. I just discovered the podcast from another one. Now, you got to let us know which one, because we both going, wonder which one it was.
Yeah.
And thought I'd give you a listen. I've saved a bunch to listen to at work and while driving. Thank you both. I've got some catching up to do.
Oh, man.
Man, how cool is that?
I love it.
We appreciate you jumping on there and giving us an Apple Podcast 5-star.
5-star.
Review, because it really helps. It really does.
We love them 5-star reviews.
Man, I'm telling you. Thanks so much for taking the time to drop in there and type something in the box and giving us a little love, and we appreciate it.
And I can't say how much that helps the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does, because, I mean, it helps our ratings and
it helps somebody else find us.
It really does.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
It is.
So we appreciate you. Thank you very much, and let us know where you heard it from.
Yeah. If anybody wants to be like Leslie and go to Apple Podcasts, click that 5-star and write something in the box.
Yes, sir.
And we'll give you a big old shout out.
We sure try.
We will. And also, if you want to go to the store page, get you something cool to wear.
Oh, yeah.
To help keep the lights on.
Summertime's coming, Donnie. You got to buy new stuff.
Yeah, get you a t-shirt. Get you some stickers.
Yeah. Everybody needs stickers for summer.
You need to get a sticker to put on your on your laptop or on your mug or something.
Or whatever you want to stick it on.
Yeah.
We don't judge.
No, we don't judge at all. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on the back of your car.
Put it on your butt cheek. Let's go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Other than that, dude.
We're about to get in the weeds.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be yelling. We've been talking way too
long. I know. We usually do. 3 minutes in. We hadn't even started yet.
Oh, Lord. That's a minute over.
Dude, we got a crazy episode, man. But yes. They're always crazy. But this one right here.
It's a little different than what we usually do.
It really is.
It's a little different, but it's damn worth sharing.
It is, because
usually I'm mad.
I've been mad for this one.
You've been mad all week.
I have. Trying to study this case. And
as soon as you come up and go, hey, I got a case. Man, I'm pissed off. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it, yeah. But we're talking about a guy by the name of Daniel Shaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spelled just like I said.
It is. But just a little bit of background on Daniel Shaver. He was born on December the 29th of 1989 in Tennessee. But he had moved to Granbury, Texas, and he was married to his teenage sweetheart. Her name was Lainey Sweet.
Lainey Sweet.
Yeah. And they had 2 daughters, Natalie and Emery.
Natalie and Emery.
Yeah, good names.
Yeah.
But Daniel, he was working as a pest control worker. And he worked for his father-in-law. His father-in-law owned a pest control company.
This is pretty wild, I think.
It is. And Daniel often traveled out of state.
Right.
Mainly in the southwestern states, like New Mexico and Arizona.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I think his family was actually wanting to move there in the future.
Hmm.
So this is what he was doing.
Yeah, well, maybe that was more why he was there instead of, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of odd to me that this is like, what, 14 hours from where he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll get into that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but this work took Daniel out of town.
Far.
Yeah. And this particular day that we're talking about, this was in January of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out in Mesa, Arizona. which, like you said, was a 14-hour drive from Granbury, Texas.
Just over the road a piece.
Yeah, good ways. But our story, Dale, it starts on January the 18th of 2016.
Okay.
And this is when Daniel Shaver, he was at a hotel.
Okay.
And this was in the evening. I guess he had worked that day. And he was at the La Quinta Inn and Suites. This was in Mesa, Arizona. And it's right off of Highway 60 there in Mesa, Arizona. And I think he was hanging out at the hotel. And I think he had ordered a pizza that night.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And he's hanging out maybe at the bar there and having him some drinks. Definitely having him some drinks. We're going to talk about that too.
Correct.
Yeah. But I think while they're at the bar.
Yeah, he met a few folks.
He did. And they were they were hanging out and having some drinks together. And it got to the point where he ended up inviting a couple of them back up to his hotel room.
Yeah. He had a bottle of rum, I believe it was.
Yeah, Bacardi.
Yeah.
And they went back up to his room. The people he invited up, their names were Luis Nunez and Monique Portillo.
Yeah, and both of them were, they were in for a Dollar General training conference.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
They were staying there at the hotel,
so
too.
They were staying at the hotel, yes.
Yeah, but I think they were staying in separate rooms. They weren't.
It was all three different rooms, yeah.
Yeah. They were just there.
Yeah.
But not together.
Correct.
Yeah.
They were there for the same reason, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So they go back up to Daniel's hotel room,
mm-hmm.
and they were having some shots, just having a good time, I guess.
Just chilling.
Yeah, their own little party, I guess. But Daniel's room was on the fifth floor, room 502. And I guess they got to talking about their work or their jobs they had.
Well, what I saw was that Monique had seen this case over in the room. And it didn't have any writing on it. And she started asking me about this big black case.
Okay.
And what it was. And that's when he told her what he did for a living.
Yes.
Which we already said, you know, he was in
pest control.
But what he did, or usually did, is he'd have these high caliber air rifles. And he would go into, you know, you've been in the store where birds flew in or whatever.
Yeah.
And if they can't get him out, then they unfortunately have to call somebody in. And then, so he'd take a pellet gun in and take the bird out. Literally, and then take it out.
Humanely, kill the bird and get rid of it.
Right, so that's what he was doing, and he was like the expert at that, I think. He had some really nice pellet guns. It wasn't just your basic Daisy Rider or whatever. You
know? Yeah.
And then
scopes and everything.
Yeah. So that's what I was kind of laughing at before. I was like, man, you look like you could find somebody who can shoot your bird that's not 14 hours away. You know, it's kind of odd to me. Why is this far away from home?
Well, he probably done all kinds of pest control, and he probably had the guns or the air rifles, but didn't want to leave them in his vehicle, so he had them in the hotel room.
Well, that's true. I understand that, but I'm just thinking it's just a long way from home. But maybe if they were thinking about moving there later, they might be family there or something, and maybe they have some kind of contracts with local business or some kind of...
Could have.
Something like, we don't know. I'm all speculating. It was just weird to me why he's 14 hours away from home to go shoot a bird in the grocery store.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or a Lowe's or a...
Yeah, wherever. Yeah, it just seemed like you could find somebody, you know, within 13 miles that can do the same job, but...
Instead of 14 hours away.
Maybe it's pretty rare. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, and I'm sorry.
So, but anyway, they were hanging out in the room, and like you said, she noticed this case.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel got talking about what he did, and he pulled out one of the air rifles.
Yeah, and show him.
He was showing it to him, yeah. And for some reason...
Well, Luis wanted to look through the sights, or he gave it to him to look through the sights.
Yeah, and asked him if he wanted to shoot it.
Yeah.
That's what he done. And Daniel opened up the window to the hotel room.
Which is odd.
Because I didn't think hotel windows opened up.
Well, this one did. I saw the photos.
Okay. But Daniel had opened up the hotel window,
mm-hmm.
and he was pointing the air rifle out the window.
Yeah, so he could look. The guy could look at the sights.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it in a room. He doesn't want to look out and see how good they are.
Exactly.
Is what I'm getting from this.
So I guess this is what Bacardi shots will do for you.
Well, you know, you just go like, yeah, check it out. My gun's really cool. You know, look at the sights. They're not thinking about nothing else. They're always hanging out in their own little party, like you said.
Yeah.
Now, the people who were sitting down at the pool seeing a guy pointing a rifle out the window didn't think it was a little party. They was getting a little concerned.
Yeah, because this is what happened.
Right.
The people down there in the hot tub pool area, they saw this air rifle.
They just saw the barrel coming out the
window. Sticking out the window.
Right.
And they thought that.
This is a little concerning, is what they thought.
Somebody was going to be shooting somebody across the road or somebody.
Something. Yeah. Somebody's got a gun out the window for whatever reason.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So they go to the hotel desk.
Yes.
And they tell the desk people there, the manager, that they see somebody out the window holding a rifle.
Right.
Yeah, they see the barrel coming out the window.
Now, at this point in the story, Monique has already told them, you guys probably shouldn't be so close to the window. People might get the wrong idea.
Exactly.
So they already know this is a bad idea. Or they, sorry, we messed up. This is, you know, 10 shots doesn't make me do this or whatever, you know. But, you know, like I said, I really think that they were in their own little world, stuck it out, didn't even think about nothing, about nobody being there. All we're doing is looking through the sights.
Yeah. So Luis, he gets a little weirded out from this.
Yeah.
And he leaves.
He just gets a bad feeling. It's just,
yeah, he does.
Okay, I think I'm just going to go.
Yeah, so he leaves.
Yes.
And he's out of the room, and for some reason, Monique hangs around.
Yeah, well, I guess she wanted some more shots. Or like, whatever, they're just having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luis actually went to his car and left. He didn't just go to his room.
Yeah,
he left the property for some reason.
Yeah, he was going. He drank some shots and drove around a little while.
God, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
yeah, but he did.
That's what he done.
Right. Yeah, just now hit me then. Okay, go ahead.
But
watch out there.
I know we're sort of laughing at this, but it's
going to get a big turn.
It's going to turn south here shortly.
Yeah.
After Luis left. It's about the same time. That's when the couple who saw the air rifle coming out the window, they're in the hotel lobby telling the manager what was going on. So the manager takes it upon themselves to call 911, Dale.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got that 911 call right here.
All right.
911 emergency.
Hi, I'm with the La Quinta at 6530 East Superstition Springs Boulevard. And a couple of the guests have come to me. I'm an employee here. They come to me and they told me that somebody's pointing a rifle outside of one of the windows in our building.
Okay, and this is a 6530 East Superstition Springs Boulevard in Mesa?
Yes, it is.
Do we know what he's pointing it at? Do we know what he's pointing the gun at?
We're not sure. They're saying fourth floor.
Okay, one moment here.
That blue one right there? That's,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Fifth floor, that's going to be...
That's
502. 502? All right, yeah, I have the room number.
Okay, is anybody injured at this time?
Nobody's injured at the moment, no. We've got some scared people, but...
Okay. What room number?
We believe 502, but yeah, that's the room that he's staying in.
Okay. Have you seen the person that's staying in that room? Have you seen the person that's staying in that room?
Yeah. I'm going to double check the map right now to make sure that that's absolutely the room that we're thinking about. But I can get you their name right now.
Okay. And what is their name?
Hey, where's the map? Where's the map of the... You keep showing it to people to show them where to park. Yeah.
Okay, so what is his name?
I have to double check and make sure because, you know... Yeah. That's definitely 502. Okay, his name... Let me sign in to my computer right now. Yeah, Daniel Shaver. His name's spelled like it sounds.
S-H-A-V-E-R?
Yeah.
Do we have a date of birth for him?
No.
Have you seen him at all? Have you seen him at all?
Yeah, I've seen him today.
Is he black, white, Hispanic, or native?
He's white. He's a white male, ginger hair.
Okay, hold on one second, officer. Hold on one second. Officers are asking me to confirm where 502 is on, or is in that building. Is it on the north or south side of the building?
It's on the south end of the building, closest to the east side of it.
Okay, and you said he's a white male, but how old did you say he is?
I'd put him in his late 20s and early 30s.
Okay, what color shirt and pants? I'm sorry, you said you saw him earlier today, correct?
Yes, I did.
And what color shirt and pants was he wearing? Do you remember?
He was wearing a black Tulle shirt, like the band.
Uh-huh.
Tulle.
And what color pants?
Blue jeans.
About how tall would you say he is?
I'd call him about 5'8".
Do you see the officers there? In the area?
Yes, I definitely do.
Okay.
Hey, I can help you find it.
Is that the officer?
Okay.
Were you just speaking with an officer, sir?
Yeah, I just was.
Okay, I'll let you go then. Thank you.
All right, Dale. Now, the police are showing up.
They hit the door.
Yeah, now, a lady by the name of Leticia Jimenez, she was a front desk clerk there that worked there at the La Quinta Inn also.
Okay.
And she responded to the allegations of the gun being pointed out this window. And she went with the guest that had reported it outside to identify the room, you know, point to the window that the gun was pointed out of.
Make sure it's the right one, I guess.
And she knew this because, like we said, Daniel had ordered a pizza earlier and received that delivery earlier that night. So it was pretty much easy to pin down the room. And Leticia would go upstairs to the fifth floor to, I guess, to make sure everything was okay there and paying a visit to Daniel's room, where she had later recalled seeing two men inside this room holding a gun.
So she must have walked by the door while he was sitting there looking at the air rifle.
Yes. And she would later say that it appeared to her that they might have been selling the gun. It might have been a gun trade or something.
Well, it probably would, you know. Well, if you out of context, it's hard to tell what it'd be. It's just like two guys looking at a gun.
Yeah.
All right.
Could be.
It's kind of odd that she would see that then but not say anything about it.
I know. Yeah, it is weird. Now, after the 911 call, the police show up to the hotel, Dale.
Right.
And they call up to the hotel room where Daniel's at, room 502.
Right.
And Monique is still in there. Remember, Luis has done left.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. So when they call up there, they tell Daniel that he needs to come out of the room.
Yeah, walk out in the hall.
Walk out in the hall.
Him and Monique or whoever's in the room.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So they're like, okay, because they ain't got a clue at this point that nothing's wrong.
Exactly.
They have no idea that people's been at the pool. They have no idea people's been at the lobby. They have no idea that anybody's scared or that they have called the police. All they know is they've got a call here. It says, please come out in the hall.
That's right. So Daniel and Monique go out in the hallway.
And damn.
Yeah. It just, things go sideways right here. So when Daniel and Monique walk out of the hotel room, Dale, they see all these cops down at the end of the hallway.
Yeah, seeing from what we can gather, somewhere between 4 and 6 heavily armed police officers. We're talking like full SWAT.
They're armed to the teeth.
At least two of them carrying AR-15 rifles. I mean, it's just, so you can tell that your heart would drop, right? I mean, you've been sitting here drinking, have your own little party all day, everything's good, and you come out in the hall. Okay, you walk out in the hall and you walk into this going, what in the hell is going on?
Exactly. So we've got the body cam audio footage right here.
Right. So yeah, it kind of goes on for a few minutes, but we're going to play it. Maybe we'll pause it. Maybe we won't. Or should we just let it play through? We're going to talk over it. But we'll decide as we go.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to start this clip right here, Dale.
Okay.
Stop right there. Stop. Stop. Get on the ground, both of you. Lay down on the ground. Lay down on the ground.
Who else is in the room?
Nobody.
Nobody else is in the room?
Nobody.
Are you positive?
Nobody. Absolutely positive.
Okay. Since apparently we have a failure for you to comprehend simple instructions, I'm going to go over some of them again. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you both hear and understand me?
Yes.
All right. If you make a mistake, another mistake, there's a very severe possibility you're both going to get shot. Do you understand that?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
So this kind of gets me, and I don't really... I don't know. I really don't want to keep stopping it because I don't want to bug it. But as soon as they come out of the room, you can tell that they're shocked and they start screaming at him and tell him to get on the ground. And then he goes, I can tell you can't comply. Well, hell, he ain't even had time to do anything.
They hadn't asked him who they are or anything.
No. Not while we're here. Not who are you. Identify yourself. Are you Daniel Shaver? Nothing.
Nothing.
So it's just kind of weird right off the bat to me.
It could have been other people coming out of another room.
Right.
Because it's the end of the hallway.
It's in the hallway.
Around the corner.
Right. And they're right now, they're not real close together, but they ain't real close apart. I mean, real far apart either.
No.
But it's, I don't know. But anyway, go ahead. I just wanted to say that because it's just kind of odd to me. He, right off the bat, he just starts chastising them, and they have no clue what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to keep going with this.
Okay.
This is, shut up. I'm not here to be tactful or diplomatic with you. You listen, you obey. For one thing, did I tell you to move, young man? Did I tell you to put both your hands on the top of your head and interlace your fingers? Take your feet and cross your left foot over your right foot. Who else is in the room?
Nobody.
Are you both drunk?
No.
No.
All right. So you're not going to have any problems understanding anything that I tell you, right?
Correct.
All right.
He said he wasn't drunk right there.
Yeah.
But he's probably scared.
You're not going to do anything but come towards us.
He ain't going to admit it.
Young man, you're not to move. You're to put your eyes down and look down at the carpet. You're to keep your fingers interlaced behind your head. You're to keep your feet crossed. If you move, we're going to consider that a threat, and we are going to deal with it, and you may not survive it. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Young lady, shut up and listen. All right? You are to keep your feet crossed. Take both of your hands, put them flat in front of you. You are to push yourself up to a kneeling position. Kneeling position. Now, put both your hands in the air. Okay, crawl towards us.
I'm so sorry.
Okay. Stop. Okay. Cuff, grab, pull.
Okay, at that point is where...
That was Monique.
Monique, yeah, crawled up to him. But on the footage, you can't see it because she's kind of off camera.
Off camera a little bit,
but you can tell what's going on.
Yeah, she's following the commands and walking on her knees with her hands up in the air toward the cops.
Yeah, what's just crazy to me, they tell them down, lay down, lace your fingers on the back of your head and cross your feet, and then, okay.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse. And go ahead.
All right,
and he is awful damn trying to be... big.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this more later.
Okay.
Grab the pole.
No, Rich, pull.
Pull,
this
Rich,
way.
Pull. Let me know when you're clear.
Clear?
No, you're not clear. You haven't pressed her yet.
He goes the wrong way.
You're not. You'll be in the chain for when we get out of the ground. Okay? Just be cool and we'll be done.
Okay, when you're done with that, lay her flat. Okay, I need one more cuff rope. Okay. This is the deal. We're going to do almost like we did before. Okay?
Have a seat.
Okay, young man, listen to my instructions and do not make a mistake. You are to keep your legs crossed. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
You are to put both of your hands, palms down, straight out in front of you. Push yourself up to a kneeling position. I said, keep your legs crossed!
I'm sorry.
I didn't say this in conversation. Put your hands up in the air!
Okay, at that point right there, Daniel puts his hands behind his back. He lowers his hands and then puts his hands behind his back.
Right, because I think he thinks that's what they want him to do. But the thing is weird because they want him, and he's a bigger guy, but he puts his... crosses his feet or whatever and then puts his hand in and pushes up like he's doing like a back bend up on to his knees like, and then he loses his balance, and that's when he screams at him because his feet come uncrossed when he lost his balance.
Yes.
And that's when he screams at him, I'm sorry, and he puts him back, and when he fixes his feet back, he puts his hands behind his back like you would be handcuffed.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right, and that's when he starts screaming at him again.
All right,
say this in conversation. Put your hands up in the air! You do that again, we're shooting you. Do you understand?
Please do not shoot me.
Then listen to my instructions.
I'm trying to do what you...
Don't talk! Listen! Hands straight up in the air. Do not put your hands down for any reason. You think you're going to fall, you better fall on your face.
Your hands go back and the small of your back are down. We are going to shoot you. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Crawl towards me. Crawl towards me!
Yes, sir.
Don't go!
Oh.
Okay. Right there. Daniel is wearing gym shorts,
right?
Basketball shorts, and they're loose fitting.
Yeah,
loose fitting. And they appear to be like sliding down.
Well, he's been just crawling on the carpet on the floor. You know it's going to drag him down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to do what they ask him, but he's telling him to put his hands up in the air, and then he tells him to crawl. He don't say walk on your knees, which would have been a better term. He tells him to crawl. So, therefore, he puts his hands back on like a baby or whatever, crawling. Yeah. And he starts crawling. When he does, he can feel his pants are coming down. And like I said, you can tell it's totally, I shouldn't say that. And when he does that, it's just like, I guess, like an involuntary move where he just goes to pull his pants up, you know, because you always just want to hike your pants up if you feel them going down.
Yeah.
And that's all he did. He reached around and started to hike his pants up, and they shot him.
They shot him five times.
Five times. Now, they always said there were somewhere between four and six officers there. At least two of them had ARs, but only one police officer shot. The same one shot five times.
Yes.
In less than a second.
Yeah.
Hitting him all five times.
Yeah. All right. We're going to finish this clip.
Yeah. Okay.
Get up on him. Okay. Hold on him. One with me. Key card.
So at this point right here, the officers,
this is hilarious to me.
Daniel's laying there dead on the floor. He's been shot five times.
Yeah.
And they walk past him to go to the hotel room.
The hotel room door.
And they actually go to the wrong door.
Yeah, 500.
Yeah, which he's in 502.
Yeah. So they go to the door beside his room, and they're trying to stick the key in, and like they're fixing to breach the door, but they're going to the wrong room.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much the end of that clip. They can't get in the right door.
So I assume after the clip was off, they probably did, I guess, eventually get in there. But
yeah.
But I was like, look at this. He's such a badass, but he goes in the wrong room.
Yeah.
I don't understand this at all.
But Daniel was telling the men or the officers, please don't shoot me.
Please.
And he's crying.
Several times. Yeah.
Yes.
And he's laying there on the floor, man.
He's on his knees.
And you can look at this two different ways. And I told you this earlier. The one time when he puts his hands to his back, what do they think? Maybe he's got a gun in the back of his pants. But he's already been laying on his stomach for all this time. I ain't going to say you can tell, but I don't know. But then the next time he goes to pull his pants up, do they think he's going back to what he was trying to get before? Is that their mentality? Did this guy have him so damn hyped up that he just start pulling the damn trigger because he done said 10 times that we're going to kill you right off the bat? I mean, you can't make a mistake. Don't make a mistake. We're going to shoot you.
I know.
And he's already drunk.
Well, let's break this part down right here.
Yeah, let's break it.
The officer giving these ridiculous commands
is not the shooter.
Yes.
Okay.
The officer giving the commands, his name is Sergeant Charles Langley.
Yeah.
And he's been with the police force for several years. And he's the one in charge.
Oh, but he let you know that.
But now the one that done the shooting, his name is Officer Philip Brailsford. He had been with the department for about 2 years.
Right.
And he was armed with a semi-automatic AR-15.
Yeah.
That's what took Daniel down.
Yeah.
But Daniel, he was shot five times. He was shot to the face, the back of the head, in his back, in his chest, and in his knee.
That fast.
Yeah. And like I said,
and all this camera footage comes from the shooter's point of view.
Yes. And this, like we said, this body cam footage is available on YouTube if you want to watch it.
It is. Unedited.
And also, there were no paramedics or EMS called to the scene.
No, they said he was dead, or I would bet, so I didn't call anybody.
I know.
You know, and I'm thinking, what did they call him here for, Don? Was it a little bitty handgun? It was a damn rifle, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he's got a rifle in his damn pocket?
No. They were called there because two people saw a gun being...
A rifle.
Oh, yeah, some kind of rifle being pointed out the window of
a barrel. At least a barrel of a long gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
But now, to the officer's credit, they didn't know what else he could have had.
That's true. They also had him laying in the floor right there. When they got to Monique, he was laying there on the floor, face down with his hands behind his head. They could have went right there and got him too.
They could have cuffed him and he'd been secure.
Now, only thing I heard in going through all this was they were possibly afraid to go closer because somebody was in the room they could shoot the rifle through the wall.
Because where Daniel was knelt down at, there was a corner right there for his room door. Yeah. And they could have been right there.
But, you know what? That theory to me goes out the window when they go try to open the wrong damn door.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, if they'd try to open that door, somebody could have come out and shot them right there if they'd been in there. Yeah.
I mean, cause that's the only thing I heard because I'm like, why don't they just go down there and get the man? You can tell he's crying, he's begging, please don't. Go down there and cuff him up. No, I can't wait till a couple of our friends chime in on this.
Yeah.
David James and Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Chime in on this because I really like to hear that point of view. But, and I don't know. And I guess it's kind of to me, it's just too many times that they could have let this go a different way.
I know. Yeah, he was laying on the ground. They could have cuffed him and he'd been secure. Wouldn't have been a threat.
I mean, the man's crying. He ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
He's not like he's fixing to roll over and, you know, he's got guns all in his damn basketball shorts that ain't even staying up.
I know.
You'd think if he had some in there, they'd already fell out because his pants had fallen off. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a policeman and I've never been through any kind of that training and I don't know what they're told to do in this situation. And maybe that's what they're told to do. But it looks like to me it could have been done different.
But now, previous to this shooting, Monique Petillo, the woman that was there with him, she was escorted outside where a female officer questioned her about this. And there are videos on this you can watch where they're questioning her. But she just tells the officer that she's there for a conference and she was up there in the room taking shots. And she even asked her, were you taking shots with the rifle or shots with the... with a needle or with a gun? That's what she asked her.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so.
Did she go, no, we're drinking liquor?
Yeah, that's what she told her, yeah.
I bet she felt stupid then.
But now, moving on, but when the police reports were filed, it was revealed that Daniel had reached for his waistband during the confrontation with police.
And technically, that's right.
He did. You can watch it. And he does reach for his waistband.
Yes.
It would later be found that Daniel didn't have a weapon on him.
No.
Mm-mm.
You know, and then in that damn video, he walks right over him, look at him to go to that damn door.
He does.
And I watched it just because I know he said he didn't know he didn't have a weapon until the next day when they told him. I don't believe that for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a detective. His name was Paul Sipe of the Mesa Police Department. And he led an investigation on this, the shooting of Daniel Shaver. And Detective Sipe arrived at the crime scene just shortly after this shooting, Dale, and was told that a man had been pointing this air rifle out the fifth floor window. And he got to looking into all this, and they assumed that it was a regular rifle. They didn't even think about it being an air rifle. They just assumed that it was a real...
Apparently.
A high-powered rifle, which made them cautious about this whole encounter, which I get. I get that.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And this Detective Sipe heard from the other officers involved that a young man named Philip Brailsford had been the one who pulled the trigger and shot Daniel Shaver 5 times after he responded uncooperatively and, according to the police report, and had reached behind his back in a threatening manner.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah. Now, Detective Sipe interviewed Monique. This was the other person in the room.
Right.
And he realized that the officers involved were not telling him everything.
Yeah, they was twisting it to make it better for them.
Yeah. They had omitted what he called vital information from police reports, which changed the story a whole lot.
Yeah, a few details changes everything.
Yeah, these details included facts like Daniel Shaver crying and pleading with the officers not to shoot him for several minutes preceding the actual shooting. And which even it's even shown that he was visibly drunk.
Yeah.
And barely.
They left that fact out too.
Yeah, barely able to comprehend any commands being made of him. And the initial suspicion led this Detective Sipe choosing to review the body cam footage of the incident, which came from this Officer Brailsford.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that pulled the trigger.
You know, you'd think he would have looked at that first.
You'd think. But this changed everything.
Well, it should.
Yeah, this Detective Sipe. He took this case to the Maricopa County attorney Bill Montgomery, who made the decision to pursue legal action after reviewing this footage for himself.
Yeah. Montgomery said, quote, well, this was not justified.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen here.
That's right.
Whew.
But now this officer, Philip Brailsford, his middle name was Mitch or Mitchell, but that's what some people called him, Mitch.
Mitch, yeah.
But he was a 25-year-old officer with the Mesa Police Department. And he was considered a pretty good officer, you know, well above average. And he came from a legacy of police officers.
Right.
His father had worked with the Mesa Police Department. And Philip had graduated from Mesa Desert Ridge High School in 2009. And he had a pretty good high GPA average.
About 3.5?
Yeah. And then he served in the National Guard and enrolled at Mesa Community College.
Yeah, well, he was a missionary before then.
Yeah.
In Ecuador from like 2009 to 2011, I believe.
Yes, he was.
And then he went in the National Guard, yeah.
Yeah. But he was also wanting to become an actor.
Right.
Because he had also had several photos and a lot of personal information that he had a website for.
Or maybe he wanted to be the next action hero.
He could have been. And this is where he was attempting to get work and acting. But it wasn't panning out for him too much. Now, this officer Brailsford, he ended up being hired by the Mesa Police Department shortly after coming back from the National Guard. And that's where, you know, he became a star there on the police department.
Oh, yeah. You know why.
And he would lead the squad in monthly arrests and traffic stops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he had at least on one occasion.
He told his superiors that he aimed to arrest at least one person a day.
That's what he said.
His ultimate goal was to move up to one of the region's gang units.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So he's kind of gung-ho kind of guy, if you ask me.
He was. And during his 2 years as an officer, this Brailsford maintained his expert marksmanship status and earned himself as a reputation as an officer that got things done.
Yeah.
Now in 2015, just going back a little bit.
Back a year.
Yeah, this officer Brailsford, he was investigated for body slamming a teenager during an arrest at a gas station in 2015.
Yeah.
And TMZ, they were able to cover this cell phone footage.
Yeah, they got this cell phone footage from somebody.
Yeah. Which shows Officer Brailsford put a teenage suspect in a headlock, spin him around, and slam him to the ground with his body weight.
Oh, why, he's already handcuffed?
Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes, he did.
Well, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
He didn't handcuff him and body slam him.
You got him secure.
I think he can calm down now. Mm-hmm. I think you the one needs to calm down.
But Brailsford, he was investigated on this by the Internal Affairs for inappropriate force.
Yeah.
But he was cleared of all this wrongdoing, of, I guess, excessive force.
Yeah.
Now, at the time of Daniel Shaver's shooting in 2016, this Philip Brailsford had been working for Mesa Police Department for about 2 years, like we said.
Right.
And it was approximately 2 months after the shooting. This was in March of 2016. He would be charged with second-degree murder.
Hmm.
But instead of being arrested, he was given a summons to appear in court, where he ultimately pled not guilty.
Right.
And if found to have acted irrationally or irresponsible, he would be facing at least 25 years in prison, as well as additional time for separate charges for reckless manslaughter.
Right. Yeah, but he didn't have to go sit in jail and wait. They just told him to come on back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, he's not going to run.
And also, Officer Brailsford was the first Maricopa County officer to be criminally charged for an on-duty shooting since 2010. This was when Richard Chrisman was charged and was later convicted of manslaughter and assault.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was 6 years before.
Yes, that's right. But later on, in March the 21st of 2016, this Philip Brailsford would be fired by the Mesa Police Department, who cited several policy violations to terminate his employment.
Yeah, he had a few.
Yeah.
Including engraving the words, "You're fucked," on the side of his rifle dust cover.
He did.
Yeah. And they had it basically, it was on the same gun he ended up shooting Daniel with.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to leave that out of the trial, too. You know?
Yeah, they did not tell the jury that the words, "You're fucked," is inscribed on his rifle, right. His AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lordy be.
I know. Now, during Officer Brailsford bond hearing, Dale, Daniel Shaver's wife, Lainey Sweet, she begged this judge to consider making his release tentative on bail. And she wanted it a bail bond set because she thought her husband's life was worth something.
Right.
But this judge, you know, it wasn't contingent on that. It was just saying that, you know, they would do a bond.
Yeah, because she just said, you know, I don't want you to give the man, you know, who shot my husband any leniency. Well, you know, I don't understand this.
Yeah, but that wasn't the case. That bond was for just to ensure that he would show up for court.
It was just a summons, basically. I don't even think he bonded him out, did he?
No.
He just said, he ain't going nowhere.
That's what the judge said. He'll show up.
Right.
But the trial of Philip Brailsford was originally scheduled to begin in February of 2017. And there were several hearings regarding the body cam footage.
Oh, yeah. They fought like hell to keep it out of press.
They did. And Daniel's wife, Lainey, and her attorney argued that the body cam footage should be released.
Mm-hmm.
But if not publicly, at least to them and the jury.
Correct.
And at that point, she still hadn't seen the footage.
No, all she knows is her husband went to go shoot birds and he's dead in the hotel.
Yeah. And this body cam footage, it was being kept guarded prior to the trial.
Yeah. Ain't letting it out.
But this request was initially denied by the police, who only agreed to show her the footage if she agreed not to discuss the contents with the press.
Right. Anyone, including the press.
Yeah. And there was a portion of the video that was released ahead of the trial in May of 2016, which showed only a brief snippet.
Yeah.
It didn't show the whole thing, the shooting or anything like
right.
that. Now, the trial itself, the jury would not be able to see the footage.
Or the gun that said, or the part where the rifle had your plucked on the side of it.
Yeah, they didn't know anything about that.
They kept all that out.
They did.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I don't know. And the trial of Philip Brailsford commenced on October 23rd, 2017.
So it's supposed to start in February and end up going in October.
It did. But Officer Brailsford, he faced up to 25 years in prison if found guilty of this second-degree murder of Daniel Shaver. And on December the 7th of 2017, after a six-week trial, a jury came back with a verdict.
Hmm. Yeah, and you know, they went through like 34 witnesses.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing.
And they stayed gone for 2 days. And after 2 days, they acquitted Philip Brailsford on all charges, not guilty. Now, following the resolution of Philip Brailsford's trial, when it ended, the body cam footage was released. The entire thing was released.
Yeah, after.
The unedited, after it was all done. And for the first time, the public got to see the video of Daniel Shaver being killed in its entirety. And this video was released to the public approximately 3 hours after Philip Brailsford was acquitted.
Mm.
And it showed the several minutes of footage that had been omitted from the trial. But the world was able to see what exactly happened to Daniel Shaver, crawling on the floor of this La Quinta Inn in Sweets, intoxicated, begging for his life not to be shot.
In his last words?
Please. Please. Yeah.
Man.
But this got a lot of backlash, man.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it did.
And it should. As it should.
And this body cam footage would end up being viewed by millions of people, and it was shared on social media and highlighted on national news broadcast. And it would even spawn local protest in Mesa, Arizona, just a day or two after Philip Brailsford was acquitted, which were joined by a former Mesa police officer named Scott Safranca.
Yeah, he was helping them protest.
Yeah.
And he had been shot, actually. He was a police officer that had been shot before.
Yeah.
And was on their side. Well, you know, in the trial, the guy basically said he just followed his training, and if it happened again today the same way, he would do it again.
That's right. And there were several other people filing charges on this. This Monique Portillo, the lady that was there in the room with him, she had even filed a charge.
Crazy.
Daniel's wife, Lainey, she filed a charge for $100 million in damages.
Yeah.
But said that she would be willing to settle for $75 million against the Mesa, Arizona Police Department. But, you know, breaking this down a little bit, you know, just going back, the whole reason the police department were there at the hotel was because somebody saw a gun being pointed out of a window.
Right.
Yeah. Was that the right thing to do? Probably not.
What's that?
point the gun out the window.
No, but I think we kind of explained that too well. We didn't explain nothing. It was just in my point of view.
Yeah.
About what I was thinking. They was up there, they was together, ain't think about nothing, took the gun out. They're just like, check out the sights. And you point it out the window because you don't want to point it toward the hotel.
Yeah.
Is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Even though it is a pellet gun.
But the officers didn't know it was a pellet gun.
I agree.
Yeah. They just assumed it was a high-powered rifle, somebody wanting to take somebody out in the window. And I understand it. I get it. This Charles Langley, Sergeant Charles Langley, mm-hmm. He was the one in charge. This guy, you and I talked about this, he should have been on trial.
Yeah, I think he really overhyped the situation. I think everybody was already on edge when they got there. And when he got up there, he just like, I don't know if it seemed like to me like maybe, I don't want to say he was scared, but I'm sure he was fearful because you don't know what you're getting into and your adrenaline's pumping like crazy, I bet. And when he gets up there, he's just so far over the top. It's like I don't want to say he's just fearful or nothing because I don't know. I don't want to put myself in his shoes, but I would say that he's basically letting everybody in the whole hotel know he's in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, just over the top to me. I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
Just screaming.
Philip Brailsford, the one that shot Daniel Shaver, he was let go from the police department.
Yes.
And in January of 2018, he filed for bankruptcy. And according to a pay stub attached to his bankruptcy file, he had been working for a steel company in Glendale, Arizona.
Hmm.
And in August of that same year, 2018, get this, Dale, he was reinstated by the Mesa Police Department, staying for another 42 days in what the police department described as a budget position. The department agreed to reimburse Philip Brailsford for medical expenses related to his post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
The result of his shooting of Daniel Shaver and the result of the criminal trial.
Well, plus he can get his pension.
Yeah.
Over $2,000 tax-free dollars a month for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why they brought him back on. They can say what they want.
But he was unanimously approved to be rehired on medical grounds. And the fact that Philip Brailsford was ultimately medically reinstated instead of remaining fired was only revealed to the public in July of 2019.
Yeah, they didn't want to tell anybody that.
No.
Everybody's already pissed off enough.
Yep. Now, moving up to 2021, Shaver's parents settled with the city for $1.5 million.
And, so there was two different civil suits.
Yes. Yeah. And Daniel Shaver's wife, Lainey Sweet, she was originally seeking that $100 million, then was willing to settle for $75 million. She ended up settling for $8 million against the Mesa Police Department.
Right.
But, you know, I really don't think this is over with. I think they could be more.
Coming out?
I think it could.
You know, I was just thinking, this trial started October 23rd of 2017.
Yeah.
Man, October 1st, 2017 was that Las Vegas hotel shooting.
I know.
Same month.
Yeah. Whew. That's eerie, isn't it?
It is very. But I mean, it's nothing to do with each other. I'll just be in a hotel situation and they're going to trial and another one just happens.
I know. This is just the crazy mess all the way around.
It is. It's sad for everybody. It really is.
But, you know, and this Philip Brailsford, the one that shot Daniel Shaver, he was young, he was energetic, and I think
he was pumped up.
Yeah, because Charles Langley, Sergeant Langley, was just, like you said, just over the top in his commands.
Yeah, and it was chatter. It was like, we're going to shoot you. We're going to shoot it. Do it one more time. One more time, we're going to shoot you. Do it again. Do it. Do a jumping jack. Do a backflip. One more time. Don't mess up again. Do this. Touch your toes. Spin around. Do, you know, all this stupid stuff he's making him do. And this kid right here beside him in his ear is just itching on a trigger, you know. And once he moves that hand, he's like, well, hell, I'm compelled to, because we already told him we're going to shoot him next time he does something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just kind of trying to make it, I don't know, make it make sense.
Yeah. But this Sergeant Charles Langley, he did retire just shortly after this.
4 months after the shooting.
He did.
He retired.
Yeah. He was out.
I would like to know, because I haven't seen anything from him, or I don't even know if he talked to anybody. I wonder if afterwards, what how he felt about it. Does he feel the same way when he, or even if he can watch it?
I don't know.
You know?
You can find excerpts of the trial online.
I would just like to know, I don't know what in his mind afterwards, you know, I mean, does he think back and go, man, I should have done that a lot damn different.
I just don't. I'd like for our police guys that listen to this, that learn more about this case, tell us about this interaction between the officers and Daniel Shaver.
Yes.
Was this proper protocol to handle somebody like this?
I mean, we've watched a bunch of videos where they're kind of doing what we're asking you to do, but don't watch them. Just give us what you're thinking, because, you know, we've seen a lots of different answers on that, and I'd like to know what you guys think, too.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Yeah. Oh, and another thing, too, Dale. His wife, Lainey, was 6 months pregnant at the time of his death. Yeah. He had another baby on the way.
So he's got two girls and a baby on the way while he's going away to shoot a bird in a grocery store and never comes home.
Yeah. Sad. Sad situation. Yeah, this story pissed me off from the get-go.
Yeah, I know.
It's terrible from all the way around.
It's horrible.
You know, and we're a true crime podcast, but was there a crime committed at all anywhere in this? I mean, Philip Brailsford was on trial for second-degree murder.
Yeah.
But did Daniel Shaver, there in the hotel room, did he commit any kind of crime? Because in Arizona, it is an open carry state.
Open carry, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know where it went wrong, but it definitely did. The boy didn't deserve to die on the damn floor in a hall in a hotel.
No.
He didn't. It's not like he come out of that damn door charging them. He didn't come out with a gun. He didn't come out with an attitude. He didn't come out with nothing. He come out with shock and laid down on the floor.
His fingers interlocked behind his head.
Everything they told him he could do beside when they started playing.
Simon Says.
Yeah, do this, do that, do this, do this. Don't do it wrong. Don't do it wrong. I'm going to kill you. It's going to be bad. You'll not survive. And then, you know, plus his blood alcohol level. Kind of was said it was the toxicology report found that Shaver's blood alcohol content was a little bit different in areas of the body, but it was like 0.27% up to 0.29%, which is basically the same difference to me, which is basically the three times the legal limit to drive. So I ain't saying he was blackout drunk, but he was
feeling good.
Yeah, way past feeling good.
Yeah. And trying to obey commands.
Yeah. In the middle of shock. Because you don't, like I said, he had no reason why they wanted him to come out in the hall. I mean, he had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
They just called from the office, you need to come out in the hallway. Okay.
Terrible. Yeah. That's sad.
Died right there on the floor.
But anyway, we want everybody to weigh in on this. Tell us what you think about Daniel Shaver in this case. Let us know.
Stir it up.
All right, Dale. We're going to get out here, man.
Whew, let's roll.
We want everyone to be careful. Just be aware of your surroundings and just look out for each other out there.
Because the next episode could be about you.
This is the Crack House Chronicles.